Welcome to the Making the List podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson. If you want to learn the secrets to build a successful, sustainable, fast-growing business, this is the podcast for you. Each week, you'll hear incredible stories and get actionable tips and advice from CEOs who've led their companies to the Inc. 5000. Do you want to join them in making the list? Then let's go. And now, here's Alyssa Dare Nelson.
Hey there, thanks for joining me for the third episode of this awesome season one of Making the List. I'm your host, Alyssa Dare Nelson, and it is an honor to have you here. We're going to hop right in because I can't wait to share our amazing guest with you today. Cindy Coble started TitleSmart Inc. in 2007 during the collapse of the housing bubble. Her intense focus on creating a positive customer experience turned TitleSmart into one of the Inc. 5000's fastest growing privately owned companies in the US for the last 5 consecutive years. TitleSmart embodies Cindy's mentality that closing on your house should be a positive, fun, and upbeat experience. The company is raising the bar for the level of service people should expect, and customers are taking notice. Now, I've had a chance to get to know Cindy on a personal level since we recorded this episode. She is as remarkable in real life as she appears on paper and as she is in this episode. In our conversation today, Cindy will share how personal connection, true relationships, have been vital to her incredible success. She'll also share how her pure tenacity, leading by example, willing to get her hands dirty, understanding all the roles in her business, and knowing the difference between delegation and abdication have helped her to reach the success she has. You're going to love this episode. Let's dive in. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come here and to share your wisdom with myself and the entire audience. So tell us a little bit more about you, not just what was in the intro there. You've made the list 5 times, which is remarkable, but it didn't start there. Like, you didn't just wake up one morning with, you know, 5-time, Inc. 5000 list maker, all of your other awards, an author, you know, successful business owner. Where did this start for you?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I was just talking about this last week when I was giving a presentation for my networking group. And sometimes I actually walk around my office and I look around and I think, wow, this is like a serious business. And then it almost gets you a little, it's almost a little scary because sometimes I just don't even know how we got here.
Yeah.
But literally, we started back in 2007, right before the housing crisis, a few months before the housing crisis. And we had 3 employees. And I was working, managing another title company. And I thought, well, you know, it's time. I can do this. But it really was the worst time ever because it was the, you know, 3 months later, the bottom fell out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of looked at things a few months later and I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah.
But literally, there was just no way it was not going to work. I put everything I had into it. I borrowed some money from my parents and we bought some refurbished computer equipment and rented a little tiny 1,000-square-foot office. And we got going and we just really hustled and we met every week and we did kind of affirmation meetings.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I tell people that we willed it into being. I mean, there was just no way that it was not going to happen. So we made it through that first year. And the second year, we kind of skipped along again and we made it through the second year. And then third year for us, things just really took off and we hit our stride and we ended up moving out of our little space and moving into a double size space. And we've been growing consistently ever since then. And now we're at about 100 total staff members and 8 locations.
8 locations. So amazing. Now, I know, because I've read your book, Obsessed to Success, and it's fantastic. And it's all about the relationships. And so that has really been your leadership style and your connection style. Tell us how that really made the difference? Because yes, you did affirmations and you had three people working their tail ends off and you willed it into being, but it didn't happen on accident, right? There's the law of attraction and then there's the law of action, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about some of the relationships that you built and how you use that to really get your business running.
Right. And I've always kind of been that person to want genuine, real relationships with people. And I have this philosophy where everyone is a customer. I will go out shopping with my kids at the mall and they always say to me, "Mom, why do you have to talk to everybody?" And I'm like, "Well, you just don't know. You don't know what that person's going through or what's happening for them. And you could make a real difference for somebody just by making that conversation. And then they maybe don't feel invisible that day."
Mm-hmm.
And so I always just did that with my clients naturally. I liked them. I wanted to know about them. And I was always truthful with them. So if I dropped the ball on something, I'd be like, "Hey, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'll take total responsibility for it." And I think they appreciated that, stepping up to the plate, taking the hit and not trying to blame it on somebody else, even if it was for somebody in our office.
Yeah.
And then just genuinely being interested, like the little things, like we get these little trinkets in our office. So if I'm going out to meet a client, I'll be like, "Ooh, I'll bring them something." And it may just be a little bottle of nail polish with our logo on it, but I'll be thinking, "Okay, I'm going to bring this for Max's wife, Colleen."
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just a genuine relationship, a genuine gesture.
Yeah. And I love, you know, you said it in one breath, you know, everyone's a customer, but then the way that you approach people is not as a saleswoman. It's first to connect and can I brighten this person's day in some way? And when you do that genuinely, right, that's when those relationships, because people know when you're positioning yourself and being nice to them just so that you can pitch them as, you know, as in your service, and when you genuinely care about them as a human being. And that makes all the difference in the world. You mentioned curiosity. And I love this conversation about curiosity. My belief is that, and it's just fact, we'll just call it fact, that curiosity and judgment cannot live in the same space at the same time. And so as you're approaching people with curiosity, it also keeps you out of judgment, which helps them to feel safe and heard, and they open up to you more because they can sense that curiosity versus that overall sort of aura of judgment. Have you found that, and was that intentional for you that you approach things with curiosity? Was that something learned or something innate?
Yeah, I think it's something that's just within me. I'll look at somebody and I think, okay, so at first glance, this could be what I could expect from that person. And almost always, once I start talking to them and getting to know them, it's a completely different situation.
Yeah.
And what I've learned about business is that you might not be my customer, but your sister might.
Right.
And then your sister might know a realtor who knows a lender, and it can be almost like network marketing of just this little web of where business can lead to. So it's not always who that person knows, but who they know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that. I find, you know, when I'm out networking, that people want me to refer them just by virtue of this is what I do. But the fact of the matter is there's lots of people that do whatever it is you do. But I am not comfortable referring somebody until I trust them as a person. And that can't happen without a relationship. And I think people sometimes forget that. Like they think if they pass enough business cards around, that their business is bound to grow, but it has to have the relationship cultivation. And you're a master at this, and your book covers this beautifully about, you know, not only how to have your business cards with you at all times, but truly cultivating those relationships. And you are just such a master with that. And I'm curious how that feeds into the entire culture of your business, because your business isn't you, but it emulates the same warmth and the same curiosity and customer experience, et cetera, as you do. So how have you gotten that culture-wise infused into 100 employees?
I think that's easy because I walk the walk. I come in here and, I mean, yesterday we had this guy who brought in this big, gigantic dog, a mastiff.
Ah.
And my front desk lady was very, very upset and nervous because he wanted to bring the dog in. And I said, "Have him bring the dog in." He's the customer. Mm-hmm. The customer is king. Or, you know, if something goes wrong and somebody's running behind and they need somebody to put in some closing numbers and nobody is available to do it, I'm like, okay, just give it to me. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I've actually gone to seminars that have title company owner leaders there. And they've told me point blank across the table that they can't believe that I spend time and know how to do such things because they are too busy mm-hmm. to be messing with such things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, the one guy had a big problem where an employee said she wanted to go on vacation and he said no, and she just went on vacation. And I said, well, because I know such things, I can just do her work and let her go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think to have the attitude that they're not going to bother themselves with what they consider menial tasks, well, I can do both. Mm-hmm. I can do this person's job, this person's job, this person's job, my job, and then another person's job.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean that you don't delegate. Right. But I think, you know, so often, and, you know, I come from a strengths approach. So I'm all about playing to your strengths and, you know, delegating out your weaknesses. But that doesn't mean abdicating your weaknesses or the things that you don't want to do. And, you know, abdicating is the practice of shoving something off your plate, but you don't actually have any idea about how it works. And that's dangerous to yes. a business. You have to know what you're delegating, the process that you're delegating before you delegate it, or now you're actually literally putting your business in somebody else's hands. If there's no process that goes along with that, you're running yourself into a potential real giant pothole, because if they happen to leave, they're taking that wisdom with them. And if it's all in their head, now they do become an indispensable employee. And not that you don't value employees. Let me just clarify, y'all. Right? But the thing is that you want them to grow up and grow out of whatever position they're in, because that means the whole business is growing. And in order to do that, whether that's growing up and growing out of the business in general and moving on, right? People think that turnover is always a bad thing, but it's not, because you want people who are consistently engaged. And so sometimes it is time to release, either by their choice or yours, people from the business. But if everything that they do is in their heads and you don't know what they're doing, now you're stuck as a business owner. So Cindy, do you have pretty good processes in place then for yourself and for all the different roles at TitleSmart?
Absolutely. And I have, you know, I have people that I delegate lots of things to, so I can easily go on vacation for 2 weeks and the company won't fall apart. Mm-hmm. But I never take my finger off the pulse of the company. Yeah. I always look at the bank statements. I always look at the reconciliation for the money. I always read the emails that are going on. It doesn't hijack my day or have to be all time consuming. I just take an interest. So if all of a sudden my two operations people walked out today, I would survive.
Yeah.
I could spend 2 weeks working really hard, training in someone to help me, and then I would be back to full speed again. And you cannot make yourself vulnerable by just letting go.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, the other aspect is, how about those new people that are coming on and onboarding? You know, again, if you don't have those processes in place, how hard is it? How unfair is it for those people you're onboarding to go, yeah, so this is your role. We're not really sure how to do it because, you know, Susie took it all with her when she left and she didn't have anything written down. You know, it's very difficult for those people to onboard. And now right out of the gate, you have a fairly terrified and disengaged employee. And now you have a turnover problem.
Well, right? And it's very different when you own the business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have such wonderful, talented people working for me, but there's always stuff that I see that other people don't.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the way the brain of an entrepreneur or a top executive works.
Yeah.
We're kind of looking through these little mazes.
Yeah, absolutely.
From perspective.
Absolutely. So I'm going to just shift the conversation just a little bit and talk about failure, actually, just a little, because we know that nobody gets through without failures. And failures teach us so many valuable lessons. I'm always grateful for my skinned up knees, because I know that I'm going to get up from those skinned up knees with so much more wisdom under my belt and to help me move forward. So they're not always bad, but sometimes if we can learn from others' mistakes, that's a pretty good thing. And that to me mm-hmm. is the difference between intelligence and wisdom, is are you learning from your own mistakes or somebody else's? So exactly. Can you tell us a story about a failure that you've experienced in your business that may have been either mitigated or not as big of a deal had your current self just given you some advice?
Yes, for certain. So back in 2016, it was a rough year for me because my brother died. And it was really busy in the office. There was different, just, you know, normal routine stress going on. And towards the end of the year, I had some conflict going on in one of my offices. And it was my, outside of my corporate office, it was my main, my next largest office. And I wasn't able to get in there and resolve the problem quickly enough. And everybody left. And I mean, I had an office was probably 15 people, and I was down to 2 in a matter of 2 weeks. And I felt very sad, and I couldn't believe this could happen to me. And I said goodbye to 2016, and I wrote out a bunch of goals, and I rebuilt it. But had I been paying more attention and keeping my finger more on that pulse, I probably could have avoided that. And so that was a good lesson for me to not take my focus away.
Yeah. So when you talk about keeping your finger on the pulse, moving forward from 2016, where was that pulse? You know, you can check your pulse on your neck, or you can check it on your wrist, right? You can check your pulse in various different places. How did you then move forward keeping the pulse, your finger on the pulse of your different sites?
I just tried to be a lot more present. I mean, this is very personal, but I quit drinking that year too. And I started sleeping better, and just a lot of just life changes. And I'm just a better manager.
Yeah.
Because of those life changes and taking better care of myself. And so now, back then it was a little bit more like, oh God, I'm stressed. I don't want to deal with that. To now I'm kind of like, bring it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I also gave up drinking in April, actually.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm like, let's just give it a year and not drink at all and see what happens. And I haven't had any drinking problems per se, but it's clarified so many things for me. And my own business has made some major catapults and moves because of the clarity, because I'm not having even a single beer after I get done with work, or, you know, those kinds of things. Like, it's not even like quote unquote problem drinking that adds to that, that fog. And, you know, you talked about self-care and really, you know, is my health at its optimal? What might that look like if I was even more healthy? How might I be able to lead this team, lead this company in a different and more powerful way if I was really, truly my best self? So I honor you for quitting drinking. I think it's amazing. I suspect that at the end of my year without alcohol, that I'll never pick it up again. I already don't miss it. And I'm so grateful that I haven't been clouded by any amount of alcohol over the last several months. So what a great thing, I think, moving forward, because it does allow you to be and to really emerge as your best self. And now what is the next level of that best self?
Exactly. At the time, when it was 1 year, I was kind of like obsessed about it. Ooh, I'm going to go 2 years. Now I'm going to go 3 years. And so I think being a goal-oriented person, it's just a natural progression to want to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is going to be another personal question. I hope you don't mind. What other changes have you made to really help yourself on the self-care avenue, right? Because if you aren't your best self, you can't be your best for others. This is not just a woman thing, although women tend to give and give and give, and then they're trying to give from an empty cup. But this is men too, right? So what other ways do you perform self-care?
Well, at the time that I quit drinking, that kind of spawned me to want to do something else. So then I did 2 really long rounds of the Whole 30, which I don't know if you've heard about that, but it's very clean eating, kind of on the paleo. And then I ate paleo for about 1.5 years, which basically is no bread, no sugar, no beans. I mean, a lot of very strict. And that was a really fun experiment. Now, I'm probably a little bit looser these days, but it was really good to cleanse.
Yeah.
And then just making those doctor appointments that you should make and you blow off and don't make.
Yep. Yep. Because you know? We think we don't have time, but the truth is we don't have time not to.
Right. And those, you know, those chiro appointments and those things. And we've been really trying to stay committed to those commitments.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. You know, self-care can be a really powerful part of a company culture too. And given that you are a leader that leads 100% by example and isn't afraid to, you know, proverbially get your hands dirty, right? I think that it probably bleeds into the entire culture of your company too. Do you do fun outings and things like that with your employees? How do you celebrate with your employees? How do you fill your sort of global or your communal cup?
Well, our big party that we really all look forward to and everybody participates in is our Christmas party in early December. So we've been doing that down at the St. Paul Landmark Center for the last 5 years. And this year we found this new venue. We're going to try something different. But all of our staff vote on this party and it's a theme and we really go all out and everyone comes.
Awesome.
It's not that kind of party where people are like, oh God, I got the Christmas
party.
Gotta
go to the company party.
Yeah, no, everybody comes and it's a really big deal and everybody dresses up and participates and it's just a fantastic, it's like a magical night because sometimes it's snowing and the park's there and we try to do stuff like that or we'll do some little potlucks in the office or some of the teams will go out. Sometimes, depending on the year, we might do like a group event with like paint and canvas, stuff like that. But it just depends on what's going on in the company, how busy we are.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you take a vote. You know, it's not something that's just, we're going to do this year because one person it might be interesting to, but how about the rest? And so I love that you vote on that. I'm curious, planning wise, how far ahead of the party are you sending out the survey to get the votes? I mean, are you planning this in July?
Yes. So like our party last year was the first Saturday in December. The following Monday, I booked the venue for the following year. And then probably 2 months ago, we sent out the survey with all the themes and then let everybody vote.
What a fun experience for everybody. Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. So as you're continuing to move forward as a goal-oriented person, you've got lots of big things on the horizon. And I know not only are you goal-oriented, but you're also visionary. So what is the future of TitleSmart?
Well, I did a lot of reflecting this year when I was on my winter vacation. I always go the first week of February somewhere with my husband to kind of recharge. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of growing and I like to do a big growth and then kind of stabilize a little bit and do another big growth and stabilize a little bit. And I feel pretty stable from the last couple of years. So right now I hired 2 salespeople in the last year, which is something I've never done. And we're doing the Grant Cardone's 10X.
Booked
together and we're going to the event in Vegas and it's fun. I mean, it's really been fun to kind of work with the sales team on the business development piece, which is my favorite piece and is probably what I'm the best at. And I'll be planning to do more keynote speeches and more private consulting, probably within my industry, but outside of my market. So this year I joined my first networking group and my first Toastmasters group, and I've really committed 100% and I'm having a blast.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I love it. A great leader never stops growing.
Exactly.
I think that's awesome. So there is somebody listening who is building their business and they're wishing and hoping that someday they can either make the Inc. 5000 or do something big with their business. What's your best piece of advice for that person?
Just do it. And I'm going to break this down because I do some just little mentoring. Like my daughter has her own business and my son has his own business. And I have some people in my B&I group that are kind of newer in their business. And the first thing I tell them is stop working on making sure everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Nobody cares if you have the perfect website or if your cards are just perfect or, you know, all those little details. If your PayPal has your logo on it, just start working and take care of your customers. And as you go, just tweak things.
Yeah. Perfectionism can be the biggest barrier to success.
I mean, you should have seen my first website. But I just did not want somebody to Google TitleSmart and nothing come up.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we got to have something. Let's just slap it up there. And then while we had that one up and while we were building our business, we were working on a new one. And that's, you have to just keep going.
Just keep going. I actually have on my wall, done is better than perfect.
Yes. Check it off. And write a new goal and do it.
Yes, because innovation comes in iterations, right? And so what beautiful advice. So Cindy, I mentioned your book, but your book is available on Amazon. It's called Obsessed to Success. Is it available anywhere else other than Amazon?
Yes. So through the distributor. So it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think I even saw it on Target.com, but not in the store. Uh-huh. And then I have my own personal website of cindycoble.com.
Excellent. And we will make sure that the spelling, you guys can find all these links on the show notes page, but Coble is spelled K-O-E-B-E-L-E. In case you're listening, so don't worry about it. Just go to the show notes page and all of her links will be right there. And of course, the link to TitleSmart will also be there. So if you're in the Minnesota area and you need a title closer, that's what we do here with Cindy. So, and you do it impeccably and you just take care of people. You know, people don't think about the title aspect of their closing, of their house buying or selling journey until it's right in their face. And so often, I can't tell you how many horror stories I hear of like, on the day of, it was like, everything kind of blew up. And so it's one of those behind the scenes services that doesn't get the credit that it's due until it's not done very well. And then it gets kind of a bad rap, but you do it so well. If you have a choice, darn it, use TitleSmart.
And you do have a choice. In Minnesota, actually nationally, they changed everything and they want people to shop and choose their home, their own services.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. And with 8 locations, it's pretty easy. Look at that. We just did a TitleSmart commercial. Yeah. but how can I not? You're so great. So Cindy, thanks for taking the time. Is there anything else that you want to share before we head out here?
I think the only other thing I was going to say is I do also have 2 children's books.
Yes.
So those were on Amazon. We're taken down, but we're getting them put back up.
Very good. And the titles of those are?
Those are tough. Those are Puppina Weppina. The Beagle with the Magical Nose.
Don't worry. We'll have the link in the show notes.
We'll get that for you. But we have a lot of inventory of those. So
excellent.
Yes. Can't a lot of times we'll just throw one of those in with the other books. But I just like to do different things.
Lots of things. Is there, look at me just carrying on. Is there another book in the works?
I have a whole folder of BookTube notes. And so we will see.
We will see. We will see. Yeah. Stay tuned, ladies and gents. Stay tuned. All right, Cindy. Well, we will let you go. Thanks again for your time. This was amazing. And I can't wait to reconnect with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Making the List with Alyssa Dare Nelson. If you're loving the podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. Until the next episode, aim high and play to your strengths.